buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com.
Today's guest is Kale Nelson of the Ham Radio 360 podcast. Kale, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Mark. Really appreciate you having me back on. Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. Now, Ham Radio 360, that's your new handle, and it's hamradio360.com. Is that right? And it's the same programming that you used to do at Faux Time. It's just this is a little bit more recognizable for ham buffs, right?
Yeah, we rebranded back in April, and it made a really big difference on SEO. And we've kind of changed the site up a little bit. It's more of a ham radio, amateur radio news aggregate site now. That also has our two podcasts up there. We now do a weekly podcast. One is just a general amateur radio topic type podcast. The other is a more intensive podcast about what's going on the amateur radio's operator's workbench, and that's the name of the show, Workbench. But it's all there, and it's hamradio360.com.
Very cool, very cool. And we usually talk comms when you're on the show, but besides being a ham radio operator, you're also a prepper. Is that right?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I like to call myself that. That name has such a negative connotation nowadays. But back in the day, I guess, as some would say, I was considered maybe a prepper. Having five kids and a single income doesn't help with your preparedness actions or whatnot. But, I just look at the news. I read the news. I read the Bible, and you put those two things together, and you realize that, our grandparents had food in their pantries for a reason. They had their freezer stocked full of groceries for a purpose, and it wasn't because they were afraid the grocery store would run out of food. It's just how they lived. Nowadays, we live vastly different from just 20, 30 years ago, with Well, you talk about all the time in your books and whatnot, but the on-time inventory and whatever at the grocery store. So it makes plenty of sense to have extra things around the house. And, if doing that with the outlook of something may happen, whatever the something could be, makes you a prepper, then I guess I have to be considered one. But, I think it's just been a good steward of what we've been given and where we are.
And do you think that that's just always been sort of a cultural mindset for you, just because that's just how you've always thought? Or was there some type of a catalyst that woke you up to the need to be a little bit more prepared?
Well, I was a Boy Scout growing up, and I had both sets of grandparents, thank the good Lord, were around for a very long time for me coming up. Both of my grandfathers fought in World War II. Both of them weren't farmers. They just had gardens. And I remember picking peas, breaking peas in the backyard with grandmother on a Saturday afternoon, or planting corn and rowing, making rows and having to go hoe out all the weeds and whatnot with both sets of grandparents. So, I mean, I remember going to their house and they had a pantry. It was a real pantry. You walked into it. It had metal shelves in it. And in the same room, there were two freezers. And then on the metal shelves were just stacks and stacks and rows after row of canned green beans, canned pickles, anything that you could can, they would can it, and they had it, and they'd eat it. I mean, it wasn't like it was just there, but that probably had something to do with that. The whole Y2K thing kind of came and went, although I did try to make preparations, not necessarily thinking that the power was going off. It was the political ramifications really what bothered me more at that time than the thought of losing electricity or something. We were dependent, but not to the effect we are now with our computers, smartphones, and whatnot. But, my parents really weren't into anything like that coming up. They've kind of woken up now, which is kind of cool. After 16 years of being called an idiot, your parents kind of coming around, that helps a lot. But I can't really put my finger on one thing outside of just being aware of what's going on around me and knowing things just aren't what they're supposed to be, one, And number two would have to be my little understanding, and I don't mean to demean my understanding, but I'm not a scholar, to say it that way, of what's anticipated in the scriptures, being prepared that way. So I think put those two together, that was probably where I got all this from.
And would you say that your wife's on board, and if so, is prepping on a fairly similar position in both of your priority lists?
Well, she's the breadwinner. So, of course, you know, she sees the bills. She sees the appointments she has to make to keep the funds coming in for us to eat today. It used to be, Kel, you're kind of weird. Stop talking about this. And then it kind of comes in waves, I guess, maybe depending – I hate to say the weather because it's just been terribly hot. I can't blame it on that. But, you know, just maybe the atmosphere of the climate socially around us, it seems to make her more aware at times and then maybe less aware at other times. And at the same time, I have to say that she trusts me. And, you know, if I say X, Y, and Z, then she's going to believe X, Y, and Z. It's just our relationship. We've been married 17 years, so that helps a bunch.
Sure. And what do you think the greatest threat to life as we know it is right now?
Oh, man. I asked that same question just the other day to someone. And the answer that I got was our complacency. And I thought it was a great response because we're complacent in all things. We're complacent in our faith. We're complacent in our health. We're complacent in our jobs, in our family lives. Oh, my God, look around. We are totally complacent in politics, and that's why we're where we're at today. The church is one of the most complacent things that maybe the most complacent entity that's ever existed is the church right now. And you just look around, and there's so many things going wrong, but you can, if you take it all the way back, you can find the lazy man sitting there waiting for something to happen, or waiting for the next game to come on or the next post on Facebook. I'm not beating up people that use Facebook. I use it for my show. But, you know, we've just become very complacent and very idle. And I think that is our biggest, or should be our biggest concern. It's just idleness.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you really hit the nail on the head with the church. And it's just, it's heartbreaking to not see more emphasis on awareness, just basic situational awareness that should be the duty of your average citizen, and no emphasis put on that in the church. You know, I think that pastors have a call to goad us towards more biblical lifestyles, and I think that being involved in the culture wars and being prepared for things that could potentially go wrong, I think there's very few things that would make us better citizens and give us the ability to be salt and light in this world. You know, it's great to help folks in need, and I think that's so important. But I think that being involved socially and politically is as well.
Oh, absolutely. And when you get back to the founding of the nation and how we had pastors at the time preaching the tenets of patriotism and the God-given rights that were for every man, and thank goodness we finally got around to acknowledging those as a nation for every man, every woman. But, you know, it's really disgusting at times when you think about pastors, lay leaders. You know, you look at it and you're, if you're coming at it from mine and your perspective here, and probably most everyone listening, they're begging to be led, begging to be taught by someone who is in touch with God, but at the same time in touch with reality regarding their nation and their nation's security. A lot of pastors, I guess, are really concerned with the fact that if they say the wrong thing in the pulpit, they'll be like the folks down in Texas where I believe it was the mayor or the DA one said that you're going to have to submit your sermons to me. If we say the wrong thing about the wrong candidate, maybe we'll have someone from the IRS show up. If we do the wrong thing, if we have the wrong program, you know, we're going to be offending the wrong people. and everything ties back to the 501c3, which, you know, of course, puts them into a matter of, I don't even want to use the word slavery there, but I mean, they are indebted to the federal government through the 501c3, who makes the rules. And it appears that scares a lot of pastors, you know, and I know there's just some good God-fearing, Bible-teaching men and women out there leading churches with a patriot voice. You know, the Bible says that where there's liberty, there's freedom. And that's talking about the liberty of the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, it makes plenty of sense when you apply it to our nation. Our nation was founded on the premise of liberty, through the liberty of the Holy Spirit, the power and the fundamental right to worship your Creator. And we've gotten so far away from that, it's ridiculous. And we could probably go an hour on that. But I'll just say that there are a lot of good ones out there. There are other charlatans out there who are lining their pockets, and they're aware that they can't say certain things. They won't take the risk. And I think that our nation is hurting because of that.
And then I think there's some good ones out there that genuinely just don't really know, and they're really I think not tuned into the realities of how dire the situation is.
Oh yeah, yeah, and I agree with that too. You know, you've got men and women and, you know, leaders in the church who are doing all that they can do to hold their own families together and have to prepare a sermon for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, do all of the work there at the church. Some even are, you know, cutting the grass, pulling the weeds. And these are pastors. They're supposed to be shepherding the flock. They're having a heck of a time doing that because their families are being, you know, left to their own devices while they're trying to serve the church. And if they're not serving the church the way the church members think they should be serving, well, then it's just, you know, they're being torn. I think that there's a lot to be said about people who are in the church that could serve their pastors, armor bearers, if you will. I know that's a term that we don't really even use anymore, but something we probably should think about again, to empower our pastors to be the pastor, the shepherd, the leader that they've been called to be, and give them that opportunity to do the work that they were called to do and not have to worry about cutting the grass, cleaning the toilets on Saturday night, making sure the ladies' Sunday school room is straightened up before Sunday morning when the kids were in there Wednesday night fooling around. And that goes back to exactly what you were just stating. A lot of them are clueless, for lack of a better term there, in the fact that what's going on around them, you know, a lot of them know, and they're not going to say anything. Others, like you say, don't know. And where and how do we educate those men and women so that they can be aware, one, of how and why we were founded this way as a nation, and two, how can we take that into real life here in 2016?
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Katie Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Order today from katiearmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com.
Following a crippling EMP attack against the USA, college student-turned-survivalist Danny Walker finally makes it to his secure rural location. No sooner does Danny arrive than he is given another petrifying prophetic vision of the chaos still to come. The country has been brought to its knees, and the thin veneer of civility has been torn to shreds by the savagery lurking just below the surface. Danny has survived the EMP, but will he live through the most vicious era in U.S. history? Buy Ichabod, Book 2 of 7 Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, from Amazon.com today in Kindle, paperback, or audio edition.
You talked about serving in your church, and that might be a good way to buy some goodwill to get that pastor's ear. You know, if you just start sending him links every week to Alex Jones' latest podcast, and he has no idea who you are, he's probably just going to delete your links. But now, if you've formed a relationship, you've taken something off of his plate and given him more time to be a pastor by serving, then, you know, he's going to be much more apt to give you his ear if you've got something that's really on your heart that you want to share with him about the need to prepare or a preparedness program for the church
or something that he may not be aware of politically, because, you know, he may be, you know, he may be in the camp that knows that Fox isn't perfect, but he may not have any idea that there's other news outlets out there besides Fox.
Exactly. You know, in serving the man who God has called to lead you and your family and the group in your community there, that's quite a service. And, you know, it's probably not very well, probably not really an attractive position to have, but I would say that it's something that's really, really needed here. You know, even if times come to the point where, let's say, China decides to show up and says we can't have church anymore, if those men are called and stand by their calling, they may need some help, you know, in times of duress. And having a relationship with them now should be what we already have because we're their parishioners. But, you know, times are changing, and we don't really know what's ahead. And the man of God needs a good source of strength around him. It's not just his job to show up on Sunday morning and make everybody feel good.
Yeah, and Radio Free Readout did a really good series on getting prepared for an underground church. And, you know, and then that's sort of the scenario that they use. You know, China shows up, takes over, and outlaws church. But, you know, I think that most of us, when we say that, it's actually sort of a colloquialism for if they actually drag that dying possum across the goal line, yeah, and Hillary actually gets elected. And we're coming up on an election where the best case scenario isn't really a good one, and the worst case scenario, well, it's just downright apocalyptic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like pick your own tyrant. You know, that's what I've been telling people: pick your own tyrant. I've been voting since I could. I remember going to the post office and signing up for selected services, going to the voter registration office on my birthday to sign up. And my first election I voted in was George Herbert Walker Bush, Bill Clinton. The first 1992 election was the first time I could vote. And, you know, that's just, I've been involved. And I don't know why. It was just something that interested me. Again, I had grandfathers that were in World War II. They built into me a patriotism for my nation. I personally don't think we need to make America great again. Just to say it out here out loud, I think that America needs to humble itself before its creator and beg him for forgiveness and then ask him to show us the direction to go. We don't need another leader to tell us where to go. We need to come back to the foundation of this nation and put ourselves with a humbled spirit, because it's our haughty spirit, it's our pride that's gotten us to this point. And, you know, that offends some people when you tell them that, because they like wearing red hats with white letters on them. I'm not trying to offend you, and I know you may feel like that's your only choice. In some aspects, it may be your only choice, but America doesn't need to be made great again. It needs to be forgiven for what it's done on so many levels. We could, again, go on forever about that, but that starts at home, and we need to get our houses straight first. And as an outgrowth of that, we'll be able to affect our local churches, our local communities. From there, we'll be able to affect our state and local governments. And then from there, maybe we'll not have run out of time, and we'll be able to affect our national politics.
And what about Islamic terrorism and the BLM protests? Are we becoming desensitized to the chaos and the violence? You know, sort of as long as I'm not in that city where it's happening at the time, I just kind of like, it's too bad.
In 2008, right before the elections, maybe 2 or 3 months before, my wife and I decided to turn the television off. We had had all we could take, and we do not get to this day. We don't have cable or satellite. We have a free-to-air satellite, which is a free satellite service that you can get all sorts of channels at no cost. You just have to buy the equipment. But there's no Fox, there's no CNN, MSNBC. RT is on there, which is kind of interesting to watch sometimes. But we don't participate in the 24-hour news feed. We don't have Fox News on all the time, or we don't have CNN on all the time. I don't think many people have CNN on anyway if you read the headlines, because they're down behind MSNBC right now. But, you know, I think that the 24-hour news feed. I remember getting cable television years ago as a kid, and I remember watching the beginning of the first Iraq war, Operation Desert Storm. I remember watching that, thinking that was the coolest thing I'd ever experienced, and it really was at that time. But, you know, from that point forward, you can even go back to the embed reporters in Vietnam, World War II, South Korea, you know, all of that. We have been desensitized. Our television and our movie theaters are full of garbage and killing and death, video games. Kids can't even have a conversation with them because they're playing them on their phone. We have become desensitized. And that was a great song years ago by a group named Pillar. Years and years ago, they did a song called Desensitized. And that's what it was speaking about. It was talking about how all these things are going around you and you don't even realize it because you've just been kind of lulled to sleep in the violence. And, you know, whether it's BLM, whether it's ISIS, Daesh, whatever we're going to call them this week, you know, crazy white people, crazy black people, crazy brown people, there's crazies everywhere. And the devil is just out having a field day on this stuff. But I think people have definitively been laid to sleep. And as long as, you know, they can Netflix and chill or whatever that is, or check their Facebook post or Snapchat or follow somebody on Twitter and be happy, or listen to a podcast and check out NFL starting, and I'm the biggest NFL fan in the country. But, you know, a lot of people just check out all this stuff, and they don't realize that this stuff is happening right here. Bill Fortune, who wrote the Lights Out, he wrote
One Second After. Mm-hmm. And One Year After.
He wrote a great book. One Year After was the follow-up. But he wrote one in between those two, and it was Day of Wrath or Day of Fury, something like that. And it was written about terrorism happening in public schools all around the nation, in smaller schools and smaller areas. It was chilling. It was probably the most chilling book I've ever read. You can buy it on Amazon. It's really cheap, kind of small, quick read. But it should waken people up. But the thing is, people don't want to read that. People don't listen to your podcast. People don't want to buy, you know, an extra bag of dried black beans at the grocery store for $2. It's just, that's not where they're at, man. They want their $7 coffee from Starbucks, and they just want their fashion. And Solomon said it best. It's all vanity.
That's the end of the first half of my interview with Cale Nelson of HamRadio360.com. Tune in next week for the rest of the show.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PrepperRecon.com offers Molly-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the Store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.